This podcast is proudly presented by Fan Babble Sports.
What are we doing?
I don't know, mate.
That kid is
superstar in the making. Like, the play's already gone, just please.
Just put your flag up.
Yeah, but what are you, mate?
I mean, I am a wanker.
You're listening to the Circle and Rectangle Show, Australia's finest A-League podcast.
Merry Chrysalis.
Merry Crisis is what it is with the Wanderers. How are we going, Jamie Brown? It's good to be back with another episode of the Circle in Rectangle Show. Apologies to everyone for missing last week. We were doing so well with getting just week by week podcasts going up. But then last week, someone decided that they just didn't want to talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Christmas period, it was hard to schedule. We're both working.
And mainly because the bloke couldn't talk.
Yeah, and I was, as you can hear, I'm kind of not feeling great. Not COVID, unfortunately, so
no
I didn't
spicy
get my
cough.
2 weeks off.
No spicy cough?
Nah, just the usual sucking and breathing sort of thing. But yeah.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. It happens in old age.
I couldn't really talk, so we couldn't really do a show. As you can tell, I'm struggling still.
Yeah, yeah, so was every footballing team I support. But yeah, there's a lot of postponements in the previous weeks of football that we've missed out on. It's been a journey. What are your thoughts on the a lot of postponements, Jamie Brown?
It's just frustrating because you expect there to be football on and it's not. So you have to sit down and watch the Big Bash, which, you know, is probably the best form of cricket, but it's still not football. And we're getting postponements in the Premier League, in the Championship. All the major leagues around the world except for England and the UK are off at the moment, so you don't get that action. It just kind of sucks.
It does. It really does. But yeah, a lot of postponements, even already a game in the new year has been postponed already.
Yep.
So we'll get into that a bit later. But look, we'll jump into some of the results that we have missed.
The results are in.
And look, I'll tell you what, we're going to start way back in match week 5, December 17th through to the 19th, which kicked off on the 17th, seeing Western United play Adelaide United. Western United coming away with a 1-0 victory through Connor Payne. And then the fun stuff, we go on to the Central Coast Mariners playing my Western Sydney Wanderers. In fact, they probably didn't even need to be there. Central Coast Mariners 2, Wanderers 0. Nick Montgomery's got those Mariners firing.
Yeah, friend of the show, Nick Montgomery. So we got to remember that. But yeah, they're playing really good football. Unfortunately for you, the Wanderers are struggling as Sydney FC were a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, for us, Nick Montgomery's got that team playing really well. The youngsters that he's bringing in are playing great. That Moraish bloke looks like a superstar of the future, even though he's not really young, but he's still pretty good. But yeah, Nick Montgomery, man, hell of a job.
Got those Mariners flying, goals through Cy Goddard and then Oli Bozanic in the 97th minute.
Good free kick.
But right? We move on to, it was a great free kick. Great free kick. But we move on to the fun stuff. Melbourne City playing Melbourne Victory, a good old Melbourne derby. And this was a good old Melbourne derby. 2-2 draw. What a match it was. Red cards. I still don't even know what the red card was for, and I was watching it. McLaren in the 96th minute. It was a fair 50-50 challenge.
Push and shove
I can guarantee it wasn't. It was a 50-50.
Well, it was for that challenge.
They both kicked the ball. Like, no one kicked each other. They just both kicked the ball. And then ref blows the whistle, and then all of a sudden there's a red card.
He had to have mouthed off or something because there was nothing in the challenge.
No, absolutely not. But we move on. Yeah, great game. Melbourne Victory opening the scoring through Mark Giotta in the 12th minute before very quick successive goals from Melbourne City through McLaren and Naboo in the 60th and 63rd minute before D'Agostino equalising in the 81st minute. But oh my God, this was the most entertaining final 15 minutes of football I've ever seen.
Yeah, compared to what we saw in the Sydney derby at the start of the season, this one had so much more entertainment.
There was going to be a winner. I thought there was not only going to be a winner, there could have also been an equaliser. it could have ended up 3-0. It could have ended up 4-0. Like, it was just flying football, like end-to-end stuff.
Well, the defending champions against the big boys that have always been there but have been shit the last 3 years in Victory, and they're coming good now. So it was always going to be entertaining. The proper Melbourne derby, not the Melbourne Inconvenience, is always entertaining. They do not like each other, much like us. But, their squads are a little better this year.
A little bit better, yeah. And Tony Popovich has that Melbourne Victory team fucking flying, sitting top of the table at the moment. And that's what happens when you get a good coach in a squad with potential.
Yeah, and you know, the ability and money to do things with that squad, to make changes that you need to make. And he's done it. We knew him coming into that squad was going to make them better. I didn't think it would be that quick.
We did say in our previous show that Melbourne Victory's best signing was Tony Popovich.
Yeah.
And it is very clear to see why.
I didn't think they'd be top of the table. I thought they'd make the finals, but I mean, he's got them playing well already and they look really good. D'Agostino is deadly. Marco Rojas, now that he's fit, is back to being on fine form. God damn, it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks to suck, eh?
Big blues gonna be fun, but
then the final game on the 18th of December saw Brisbane Roar and Perth Glory sit at home as the match was postponed.
Wait, did we touch on the Sydney FC win?
That's on the 19th, champion, calm down. We'll jump into MacArthur FC first, 2, defeating Newcastle Jets 1. MacArthur FC doing it a man down after the 18th minute as well, with Philip Curto showing his marching orders. That's a strong performance from a team with a man down for majority of the game to come out victorious. Newcastle just couldn't take their chances.
Yeah, Pappas was pretty blunt with it in the press conference, just saying, you know, we had all the advantage and we just didn't look like we wanted to win today. And they probably should have got that goal where that red card happened. But, you know, by the letter of the law, he has to stop play for a red card challenge. But I feel like just let it play for 2 more seconds and the goal goes in. You give Curto a yellow card and Newcastle Jets are up 1-0. But it is what it is. Good performance for the Bulls in front of a really big crowd.
A really big, like 900-person crowd.
Yeah,
Western United, like former Western United numbers.
And they don't have a home.
But yeah, they do not have a home ground, and that's what they used to get. Now they get that in their active support.
Yeah, they've actually turned it around this year. I think they've realised that they were a joke, and they've showed up this year.
Yeah. Anyways, we move on to, yes, Jamie Brown, Sydney FC 2 defeating Wellington Phoenix 1 to wrap up match week 5. Elvis Cam Sober scoring in the 19th minute before Lafondra scoring in the 57th. Ben Wayne with a consolation goal in the 83rd. But that was an entertaining game as well.
Yeah, that goal in the 83rd minute made me nervous because, you know, against the Jets, we had a 2-0 lead and we had a 2-0 draw and I was just seeing it happen all over again. I was ready for the Corica out. I'm still not sold on him. I think the players are just playing better, but hey, we got to win. Thank God we got to win.
You got not just one, but we move on to match week 6 because we've missed a week. Starting off with 22nd of December, Melbourne City playing the Western Sydney Wanderers, postponed, but not for COVID because they had FFA Cup duties, which were then postponed.
Just great.
But Adelaide United versus Perth Glory, postponed. The Newcastle Jets, Western Sydney Wanderers, postponed. Central Coast Mariners playing the Wellington Phoenix, postponed. And then the Brisbane Roar playing Melbourne City, postponed. So the two games from match week 6 sees MacArthur FC at home to Sydney FC 0, Sydney FC 3. Massive, massive victory for the Sydney FC. Just
dominance.
Good, yeah, very dominant performance. And another game where in this fixture where the home team has lost. It's consistent. I like that. And then also a Melbourne inconvenience, seeing Melbourne Victory 3 defeating Western United 1.
Also a good game.
No, another very good game, considering Western United defeated Melbourne Victory 1-0 in their first meeting. Jurea in the 18th minute, Briante in the 19th, very quick successive goals.
Yep.
Before Prijovic getting Western United on the board at 2-1, making it a very, very tight finish, but D'Agostino putting a nail in the coffin in the 94th minute.
Yeah, that would have been an amazing goal if Rojas had finished it. A piercing run straight through the middle of the field, picked it up just outside his 18-yard box. If he'd finished it, it's probably goal of the week, but passes it to D'Agostino. And good finish, good goal, but not goal of the week worthy, unfortunately. But great game. I mean, Western United had chances early to go ahead, probably 2 goals really early, but they couldn't take the chance. And, you know, the way Melbourne Victory's playing, if you don't take those chances, they are going to punish you eventually. And it hurts to see Brillante scoring for that scumbag team.
It does. But look, that was the A-League action. A lot of postponements, and can't wait to see all those fixtures rescheduled.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Jamie, we're going to move on to the results of the A-League Women's. Almost a W-League, but I didn't.
Now, not as many postponements for match week 3 for the A-League Women's competition. I almost said it as well. The Liberty A-League Women's competition. The Western Sydney Wanderers and Newcastle Jets played out a 1-1 draw at Blacktown Football Park. Really entertaining game. Stunning goal from Tiana Jaber for Newcastle Jets. The next day, December 18th, saw Melbourne City beat Adelaide 3-1 in a dominant performance. Seems the old Melbourne City are coming back. Melbourne Victory then beat Brisbane Roar later that night 3-2. Up in Brisbane. Surprised that one happened, but it did. Really entertaining game again. Unfortunately for Jared, his girl from Brisbane didn't score and Catherine Zimmerman did. So that's kind of hurting him because he was going to be, she was going to be his pick, but he changed. Then we
Silly.
You very much are. Then we saw Sydney FC absolutely beat down Wellington Phoenix 3-0. We both predicted that it would be somewhere 4 or 5-0. Kind of took their foot off the gas. They bought off Remy Simpson with a long time to go. But, I mean, doesn't matter who you bring off and who you put on, that Sydney FC team is fire in the A-League Women's.
God, Liberty A-League Women's.
Damn it. And postponed was Perth Glory versus Canberra. So that was the only postponement for match week 3. We move on to match week 4, which saw Canberra at home to Brisbane. This was probably the game of the round for both men's and women's. 3-3 draw. Michelle Heyman getting them off to a great start early before an own goal from Canberra and then a goal to Connors put them up 2-1 before Margraf put them up 3-1. And then the comeback started. Grace Maher with a phenomenal free kick to put them in 3-2. And right at the death, Caspers with a goal from a corner, just tapping it in. If you don't watch women's football, just check out the extended highlights of this game because it was as entertaining as they come. And, I mean, Michelle Heyman scoring is always a fun game. So, yeah, the Melbourne derby in the A-League women's competition saw Melbourne City win 5-1. All five goals for Melbourne City coming for Wilkinson. Maya Markovsky got the goal for Melbourne Victory right at the death. Doesn't really matter, but goddamn, man, 5 goals in a game. Holy shit.
That's an effort.
Yeah, I mean, I've scored 6 in a game before, but I'm
You're different.
But, you know, 5 goals in. And all of them well taken too. None were easy given. Like, she had to do work for all 5 of them, so credit to her. The Sydney derby in the A-League women's competition was a nil-all draw. Fiery, not really entertaining.
Controversial nil-all draw is what it was.
Yeah, there was a lot of heavy hits in that game. But it was good. It was still, if you like physical football, it was kind of entertaining, but there wasn't a lot of chances to score goals. I think the Wanderers had one early in the second half. Sydney FC kind of dominated most of the game, but really never had a clear-cut chance that they were going to win the game with. And it's the first time, or second time, sorry, in 19 appearances that the Wanderers have taken a point against Sydney FC. So
it's an effort.
That's quite some
domination. Something we can be proud of.
And considering what that Sydney FC team's going to do this year in the A-League women's competition, that's pretty impressive. You're the first team to take points away from them. So
considering we had them going through like without dropping points, that's a good effort.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we are wrong already.
Yes. Shocked.
Wellington Phoenix, Newcastle Jets played out a 1-0 win for the Jets. Entertaining game. Wellington really had a lot of chances to get a goal and probably take the lead early and actually throughout the whole match, but they just couldn't get it done. The Jets through Gemma House, her first goal in the A-League, get the 1-0 win. Really scrappy. Unfortunate for Lily Oldfield, who saved the initial shot off the crossbar. Her defense just wasn't awake to it, and they get the win. But yeah, those are the W-League results. There was a few postponements. Obviously, Perth Glory didn't play, and Adelaide didn't play. But, you know, still, we got 4 games instead of 2.
That's a positive. We did. So, and in little, with a lot of post moments, there haven't been a lot of goals scored, but we're still going to pick a goal of the week.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
So, Jamie Brown, go through the list of nominees for match week 5 and 6 for the men and 3 and 4 for the women. Goals of the week.
So, for goals of the week for match week 5 and 3, there's only one. It's Tiana Jaber from Newcastle. Absolute screamer for her first goal. Against your Wanderers, but, I mean, it was a phenomenal goal. Not much, I can't remember what your goalkeeper's name is called. She changed her name with marriage in the offseason, and I've forgotten it. But, yeah, not much she could have done about it. Perfectly hit, dipped at the right time. But for this week, I've narrowed it down to 3. Grace Maher for Canberra, her free kick, as I mentioned, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Daniel Dos Santos Pena for the Jets free kick against the Bulls in their 2-1 loss. And Daniel Da Silva. His amazing volley against the Jets, also in that game for the Bulls. But it can only go to one person. If you didn't see it, go check it out. Daniel Dos Santos Pena's free kick against the Jets was perfection.
It was. And we said from the start, Pena is going to do some bits for Newcastle Jets. Took him a while to get his goal-scoring exploits started, but once he started, he hasn't stopped.
Yeah, he also had a shot from about 30 yards in this game that dipped at the right time and just swerved away from the post. This free kick, if you haven't seen it, check out the highlights because it was a good, entertaining game, but there's not much any goalkeepers doing about that. So it was just too well hit, too hard, bent, dipped, did everything it had to do. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough for them to get the win. But yeah, that's the goal of the week. Congratulations, Daniel Dos Santos Peña. But
well done, Daniel Dos Santos Peña. And that's another wrap for results and goal of the week. And I'll tell you what, we've missed 2 weeks of, obviously, Circle and Rectangle Show. So there's a few topics we're going to get through. So here is Hot Topics. Yeah, But we're going to start with the big one, the one that we've missed that we should have done at least something of last week. Celtic winning the Scottish Cup. Ange Postecoglou lifting his first bit of silverware for Celtic, and what a game it was.
Everywhere he goes, he wins.
Correct.
And quick. And he's playing great football. The fans are loving him. Not much more you can say. And he's got Tommy Rogic playing great football again. So that's always a benefit for the Socceroos. But yeah, congrats, Ange. Scottish Cup, like the FA Cup, pretty historic. And I think they beat Hibs, right?
They beat Hibernian. 2-0? So, was it 2-0 or 2-1?
I think it was 2-0. No, 2-1. 2-1.
It Hibs was 2-1. Yeah. The Japanese superstar for Celtic scoring both goals in that game, even though he was under a bit of an injury bubble. But yeah, Ange Postecoglou, faith in his striker, and boy, did it pay off.
Yeah, Celtic seem to have this thing with Japanese players coming in and absolutely starring. Nakamura was the last one, and now you've got Shinsuke, yeah, and then now you got this guy scoring 2 goals in the cup final. Celtic are going to win the league. It's very simple. Rangers had their fun. They've lost their manager now. The whole club's turning around. Celtic just need to do what they do and run away with it, which they probably will, because Ange Postecoglou is a phenomenal coach and likes to win the league in the first season he gets to a club. So it's
Ange just
how he
likes
does
winning.
It. Yeah, that's it. He doesn't like to lose. And yeah, congrats to him.
Very much so. I like how disappointed we sound by saying it. But yeah, there's not really much else we can say. It's a massive achievement for an Australian coach.
When he wins the league, it'll be huge. And what he does in Europe, I mean, this year's not been great. But, you know,
this is a stepping stone for Australian coaches.
Yep, he'll be in the Premier League eventually. You just watch, which is fucking incredible to think about. Jets v. Bulls. We sort of touched on it during the game that the goal should have stood. It's more, you know, a quality of refereeing sort of issue.
It's not really that. It's how, obviously, the rules is the rules. You have to stop play immediately when there's a red card. But I kind of want to, like, as a fan, we like seeing red cards. It's fun. But especially when it's the goalkeeper. But when the challenge comes in and the ball falls directly to a Newcastle Jets player who has an open goal and then also shoots before the ref blows his whistle. Can we not just, you know, play advantage, give Kurto a yellow card, because obviously he deserves a red, but give him a yellow. They cop the goal. Jets go up 1-0. There's your advantage instead of gaining the advantage of a man down for 70 minutes.
Because these teams train being down to 10 men. It's not as big an advantage as it used to be in the early thousands. It's a man advantage, but teams have setups and tactics to work for this sort of thing. Going down early especially, and I'm pretty sure Ante Milicic, as good a tactical coach he is, definitely has some sort of plan for that. And yeah, it wasn't like it took 10 seconds for the play to develop. It literally, the deflection from Yule off Curto went straight to the Newcastle Jets player, and he hit it first time, and it was rolling towards the goal when he blew the whistle. Why don't you, as a referee, just look and go, it's going in, it's going in. Okay, cool, goal. Yellow card to Curto, like you said, and we carry on. But
the rule book for referees says that you can't, because it's a red card. He's out of the box. He has denied an obvious goal scoring opportunity. Yep. But then again, has he denied it by tackling Yule because it went to a Newcastle Jets player for an open goal?
Yeah. So it's still a goal. And you can easily, because it's gone in and it's not a deliberate handball or anything like that out of the box. Is it obvious goal scoring opportunity?
Pretty much a one-on-one. Yeah.
But you can say it's a yellow card because they've still scored the goal. So he didn't, like you said, didn't deny it. But, you know, it is what it is. The rule is kind of odd, but
something we kind of need to look at.
Yeah, so many rules. But
there is a few rules that go against a lot of footballers, but it's one of those ones that you can, like, put in a little bit of fine print.
If it's a dirty tackle, like a double studs up, like a Roy Keane special on Erling Haaland's dad, whatever his name was, then yeah, you give it the red card. You stop the play straight away. But it was outside of the box, just brought
him
down.
Yeah, denial. So dog so is the abbreviation they call it. Denial and obvious goal scoring opportunity.
He was a dog for denying it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's yeah, that's what it is. And it's like, well, yeah, has he deliberately denied Valentino Yule scoring? Yes.
Yeah.
But has he deliberately have Newcastle and Jets been denied for scoring a goal?
No.
Only because the referee blew his whistle. That's the only reason that denied them.
A referee should get a red card.
Send him
for denying a goal. But yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Obviously, like the referee's done exactly what the rule book says he has to do. Send the player off because it's a red card. But it's one of those things where it's like, just needs a little bit of fine tuning.
Just let it.
Because it's one of those things, it doesn't happen often.
That's it, yeah. If he just put his whistle to his mouth and saw it go to the player and was like, okay, cool. Goal, yellow card, we're done. You know, Newcastle Jets are happy. Bulls are probably happy because, yeah, they've conceded a goal, but they get to keep their better goalkeeper on the field. Everybody kind of wins, but the Bulls still
see,
get
if
a
I'm
punishment.
If I'm Arthur Pappas, what I'm calling for is the goal to stand and Curto to get sent
and
off.
A red card, yeah, but you can't have it both ways, Paps. You know.
Can't make your cake and eat it too. You got to
pick
one.
Yeah, we wish we could. Keeping on the Bulls, you sort of mentioned it before the show. What are we doing? Like,
and look, as much as being a Wanderers fan, I enjoy slandering MacArthur a lot.
That's what we do here.
It is, but this one's more or less like this is a very serious. Very serious problem that the MacArthur Bulls seem to have. In their victory over the Newcastle Jets, there were less than 1,000 spectators at Campbelltown Stadium. And in a massive Sydney derby, which is what they want to call it, where they played Sydney FC at Campbelltown Stadium Boxing Day. And there's a lot of Sydney FC fans in this area. And I'm going to say I'm pretty sure Sydney FC fans outnumbered the Bulls fans. The ground announcer said there was over 4,800 fans in attendance, but the ticketing booth said only less than 1,500 actually entered. This is a serious problem, and this is not us joking around saying, oh, Bulls are, like, they don't have fans. They don't. They do have fans, but the club is bleeding everyone dry. When the cheapest child's ticket is $30, you have a problem.
Yeah, you absolutely have a problem, and I was going to go to the game. I had the day off. I chose not to purely because I'm not paying $50 for an away ticket to go to Campbelltown Stadium. If I'm paying $50 to go to Bankwest, that's a deal that I can get my head around because it is a state-of-the-art stadium.
But it's not even $50.
No, it's not. It's like $30, I think it is.
$32.50 or $35, depending on what like membership you've got or whatever.
And
that's for which is a state-of-the-art stadium, probably one of the best in Sydney.
This is fucking Campbelltown Stadium. It's like going to Shark Park out here in the Shire. It's like going to Leichhardt for a W League game. It's an average stadium at best.
If you have a grass hill, you should not be fucking charging $50 a seat. No,
it should be $20. Max price should be $20 unless you're sitting in a box, and that should be $25. Because
like it is a serious problem that MacArthur need to figure out quick. Because even as fans, like, I can understand where they're coming from. Their team is top of the table. They want to be watching their team play. But if it's going to cost them an arm and a leg for one ticket, like, to go to one match day, I'm not going.
If you're not a member and you're an adult, you're looking at, say you want to take your wife and two kids. That's $50 for you and your wife. And then, they probably have a family deal, right?
They do have a family deal
still
where
over $100.
$95, I think, was the cheapest family deal.
That's actually kind of a pretty good deal. But when you consider it's $50 for one adult ticket. But, you know, like me, if I wanted to go and take my two kids, it'll be 50 plus 230 plus 30 and 30. I'd better off just getting a family ticket. Like, I just don't understand how they think that they can charge those type of prices to get into Campbelltown Stadium. You know, it's not the Etihad. It's not Emirates, it's not fucking Bankwest or the new Sydney Football Stadium.
It is extortion.
It's Campbelltown, yeah. And you also got to remember where Campbelltown is. This isn't the eastern suburbs of Sydney. This is a lower socioeconomic area than what you would find even in Parramatta. Like, it's not, they're not the richest people in the world living in Campbelltown, unfortunately. As me and Jared kind of grew up there.
Rich on life, bro. Rich on life.
Yeah, well, that's it. Life experiences. Rich on life experiences. But, you know, it's not the type of people can just say, hey, I'm going to spend $50 on a ticket. For a game. I'm impressed to see how many members of the Cove were there. I saw the videos beforehand of the traveling. I wanted to be a part of it. I just couldn't justify going to Campbelltown, spending money to get there, and then paying $50 to get into a ground that, you know, it's just terrible. It's not worth it. Yeah, you go watch the West Tigers in rugby league play there because no one really cares, but to go watch the top of the table MacArthur Bulls. Even your memberships should be having more than 1,500 people show up for that game.
I would assume they'd have more than 1,500 members.
Yeah, you were good last year. You were built a squad that's going to be great this year. Yeah, Ulysses Davila is out injured at the moment, but you still have a great squad, and you can't even get, you know, half that stadium full. Like, it's unbelievable. Sydney FC is playing at a ground that we don't even care about, and we get more fans to it than they do to their home ground. Like,
Western United don't have a ground, and they get more fans.
More fans away than the Bulls get at home. Credit to Western United for turning up, but they have a good team. Fans show up when the product is good. MacArthur have a good team. The product on the field is good, and yet they still don't show up.
And it's not like they're playing like, oh, Newcastle Jets, yeah, whatever. But even like, I'm gonna, this is me tooting my own horn. When the Wanderers played Newcastle Jets and had a 1-1 draw, there was probably more than 1,500 Jets fans there.
Yeah. Credit to the Jets.
Like, the Jets travelled on a Sunday afternoon, the away fans, the squadron, and there was a lot of them there. But, yeah, it's like...
I mean, there was more Mariners fans than Bulls fans at the Penrith game. And they played at Penrith Stadium. Like, it's just... Where are the Bulls fans? If you are there, five-star review is, podcast, and let's see how many there are. Five-star,
I know, there's
review,
a few. I'm going to hit up the Bulls podcast fans and their podcast, and we'll have a chat with them. But, like...
Can't imagine they get many listens if they don't have enough fans that show up to the ground. So
no, I'll tell you what, the podcast probably has more fans than the club does. but yeah, like when we grew up in, like, obviously we're in the MacArthur region. I'm still there. Jamie's obviously grown up there. This is one of the biggest footballing areas in the state. This is an untapped market that they should be diving into.
And junior football there is huge.
Massive.
It's massive. Probably one of the biggest districts in the state, up there with the Central Coast. But yeah, how they're not taking advantage of that is amazing to me.
Like, so this is something, this is probably where the A-League needs to really take a good, long, hard look and say, is this endeavor worth it in the long run?
Yeah.
Unless they start tapping into this market, no.
I would be seriously considering saying, hey, here's the thing, MacArthur, lower your ticket prices. Let's see if we can fill that stadium at least once this season. If you can't, we need to look at pushing you down to Canberra and changing your name, putting you in green, and just, you can't have it linger. They cut off the fury when they realized they couldn't get, they had bigger crowds than what MacArthur are getting.
And the fact is, the fury also weren't playing good football.
Yeah, but they still got bigger crowds because there's not much to do in North Queensland. You need to seriously, if I'm the A-Leagues, I'm looking at this and going, all right, we give them this season. They have a great team. They're going to be in the finals. Let's see what average crowd they can get. If they can't, you know, get it at least above 5,000 or 6,000, you got to seriously consider moving that team really fast. And it's not because we're hating on the Bulls, because, yeah, we are Sydney and Wanderers. We don't like the Bulls. You're an inconvenience to us. But it is good having that basic away home, because we can pack that stadium out.
You wouldn't believe it. If the ticket prices were, like, reasonable, I would probably be at every Bulls game.
If it was $20 an adult, $25 an adult, let's go that. Or $30. Let's go Bankwest Stadium price. If it was $30 an adult, $20 a kid, I would probably have gone on Saturday.
I would probably be there almost every week because I enjoy watching football.
Yeah, you like live football.
But if it's going to cost me literally my soul to go there every... Like, their membership prices to sit in the bullpen is more than what I pay for Wanderers.
Yeah, and Wanderers, you know, a more established club with history. And I have to travel further. Yeah, and you have history, so... But yeah, this isn't a jab at them. Like we said, we grew up in that area. Football is important in that area. Sydney FC used to get massive crowds at Campbelltown Stadium when they played friendlies there against the Rams. So did the Wanderers. Why aren't the Bulls tapping into that market? Because their prices are ridiculous. And everyone's taking the piss, especially the New South Wales clubs. I mean, Jets pages, Wollongong Phoenix pages, bullpen pages, Mariners pages. Thanks, Sharnen, for putting me on all of these. And I'm seeing everyone, MacArthur Bulls, I'm not paying $50 a ticket. Fuck that. Like, it's just no one wants to pay $50 to go to your shitty home ground. So, yeah, it is what it is. Fix it, Bulls, or the A-Leagues need to seriously consider fixing it for them. As Rob Riggle said, it's just something about your face. Fix it or I'm going to fix it for you. That's the A-Leagues, the face of that team. Yeah, it's just shocking.
Sad. It's sad.
Yeah.
Because the Bulls had a very successful first season. Not as successful as the Wanderers, but very successful in terms of new clubs. And they're even more successful second season. Like, they're currently sitting third, I believe.
Yeah, and a great squad. All the potential in the world to go close to winning the whole thing. I think I picked them to come first in the league table. So I have faith in you.
Why? Yeah, it's ridiculous. And the fact is, we're going to probably still talk about this every week until it changes.
Yeah, until they pack that, 18,000 capacity stadium out? Like, it should not be hard for a Sydney in brackets derby. Mainly, probably more so against the Wanderers, but still.
For the Wanderers, like, there were still restrictions when the Wanderers and Sydney FC played their derby, and it was still more than 20,000.
Yeah. Yep. And the atmosphere was incredible. So,
correct.
Yeah, you need to fix it really fast, MacArthur. Really fast.
Actually, I tell you what, people would probably show up if you got rid of those fucking cowbells.
Yeah, that's probably it. It's probably not the money. It's just it's fucking
absolutely
terrible.
The cowbells.
I mean, the Cove was the loudest fan base there on that night, and the only time I ever heard the bullpen was when they were wagging those damn cowbells when someone made a tackle or completed a pass. So, yeah. Sticking with terrible clubs in Sydney that are struggling, the Western Sydney Wanderers.
You want to vent about? How dare you?
I mean, yous aren't playing great. Your coach is terrible, much like ours, but we're getting wins at the moment somehow. Yeah.
When the club... forces you, not even for when the club has made you lose your passion for the game, you know it's bad. It's so bad that I've watched nothing in like the last 2 weeks. I just can't be fucked. I've been a very busy man, being on holidays and shit, but like I just cannot be fucked. I think my brother watched probably the first half of the Central Coast game. We went down 1-0. We turned it off because we're not coming back. We're not playing good football. We've got a terrible culture at the club, and to be fair, it's probably at no fault to Carl Robinson. Definitely the Wanderers' problems go way higher than Carl Robinson, and everyone knows it. But yeah, we suck. We're not going to make finals this year. I've already written that down. And I'm just going to set myself in for more disappointment. So,
I mean, you just have a really good squad.
On paper, we should have a good squad.
Williams in the back line, marshalling everything, a really good goalkeeper, Maes. Good midfield, Petrados, Antonis, that Japanese player's great. And a good strike line, and when Rodwell's in the team, he looks good. But, Newcastle Jets fans were pissed that you took Carl Robinson as a coach, but I think as they sit now, they're like, yeah, you know what?
Good choice, great
good choice. You've brought in Gary Van Egmond as an assistant. I really don't know what he's going to do to fix the on-field product.
I don't know what he's going to do to fix, but I'll tell you what, he's going to be interim manager in about 3 weeks.
Because
we're going to do is like we do every fucking 3 years. We're just going to sack the coach, but our CEO is going to sit there, who is absolutely the root of the problem, and we're going to fail again.
And
it's just fucking relentless cycle.
Gary Van Egmond is a good coach. Like, you got to give him credit. He's done some really good things with the Jets, but not for a while has he been in the game. And is it something that you need someone like a Popovich or an Arthur Pappas or an Ante Milicic, who was all three were at your club, that you need to? And I know it would suck for the Jets if the Wanderers went and grabbed their coach again, but do you need someone who understands the club? Or
what we need, we need someone that understands the club of what the Wanderers are, but we need someone like who understands Australian football. And, like, I don't think there has ever been a successful international coach.
Well, I mean, Pierre Littbarski won the first A-League title. Vitislav Lavichka was pretty dominant with Sydney FC those times. But
like, a consistent. And yeah, don't say Sydney FC, because they just had the money to do it. So they had the squad to do it. But then you look at it, like, Postecoglou, dominant wherever he went.
Yep.
Popovich is doing what he did bits for the Wanderers. Now he's doing bits for Melbourne Victory.
Graham Arnold. Alan Stajic.
Milicic. Look at the
coaches. Montgomery's doing good things, but consistency.
But he's also been in this league since 2012.
He might as well be Australian.
Correct. He's been here for 9 years. He knows Australian football.
In fact, Cap Monty. Socceroos.
Get him in the squad. Yeah. But it's deflating. Honestly, it's what it is. I'm absolutely deflated. I just do not care anymore.
Yeah, I had like high hopes, like, as much as I hate having high hopes for you guys, I thought with the squad you had, and you know, you were saying this is the first year he's had the squad he wants, so it should be better. And I fully expected, you know, you guys to make the finals, us to make the finals. I thought the finals were going to be the big four, the two Melbourne clubs and the two Sydney clubs, sprinkled in with a couple more teams. But man, you guys just, doesn't matter who's in that squad. It just, since Popovich left, it's been a vacuum. You can't get it right.
What the most, the worst part about all this is, I think we've lost, what, 3 games this year or maybe 4 games this year already?
You shot for the derby. God damn it.
But every single game we have lost, we have had 60%+ possession.
Yeah, you just can't take your chances.
We're not even having chances.
You know,
every game we've lost as well, the opposition with 30% possession has outshot us. They've had more shots on target.
You're really missing Mitchell Duke.
Yeah.
And that's
I'll tell you who we're missing. Brenton Sandilap. That's who we're missing.
Yeah, well, he's retired now. He retired.
No, he's only retired legend. Because no one
wanted him.
Yeah.
But you're right. He's someone who can score a goal out of nothing. And, you know, he did it for Sydney FC before he decided to be a dog and go play with your boys. But I think Mitchell Duke,
for us.
More, not just on the field, but for
the culture. Behind the scenes. And there's a big thread on Twitter about like what's happening with the Wanderers and a lot of backroom stuff. Like, who was the W League coach we had last year?
I know it's Cannulli now.
Yeah, no, it was, what was his name?
I know Zvanzwijk came out, former assistant coach.
He did. No, the W League coach from last year came out. Whoa, who was it?
That young dude, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but we went to a W League game out there, so we saw him play.
But yeah, he's like, the reason he left is because the culture's fucked. There's no culture. Mitchell Duke's come out and said it.
And you lost Sarah Hunter from that W League team to Sydney FC because, I mean, probably culture. More money, but it could be a culture thing too. It's like, I want to go play somewhere where, you know, and Sydney FC, to its credit, it's been struggling, but they have a pretty good culture by the looks of it. Everyone's on the same page.
There is a lot of former Wanderers, backroom staff and players that have come out like blaming the culture for everything.
Yeah, Patrick Zvanzwijk, former assistant coach and Mariners legend, pretty much said it's the person whose name is always in the paper talking about how the club's fine that is the cause of the problem, and I'm thinking that's the CEO. So
JT, yeah,
it's, and you've been saying it for a long time. Like, you, this isn't a this year thing. The Wanderers have been on a downward spiral since Popovich left.
Since we won the Champions League.
Yeah. It,
you know, I mean, Popo, we won the Asian Champions League, and in that season, the season we won the Asian Champions League, we finished like 8th. Then we came first again and lost in another final, and then Popovich left.
Yeah. And since then,
it's all down here. It's what it is it's the CEO trying to keep what Popovich had. Yeah. What Popovich had was a great culture in the great club because he's a great coach.
Yeah.
When you start bringing in all these foreign coaches with their foreign players, it just does not mix.
Yeah. I mean, you had good foreign players come in. I mean, I thought Much was a really good, probably culture guy.
Not gone.
But you let him go, yeah.
But yeah, look, when we had Josep Gombau, we brought in all these Spanish players. And look, to be fair, I love the Spanish players. Ariola is probably one of my favorite strikers we've had. He's a good bloke. But then we brought in Marcus Babbel, and then we started bringing in the Germans.
Yeah.
And we had,
I mean, Müller, good player.
We had Müller, good player, but like, as much as I like the bloke, he pretty much was another Bomjohan, where just basically didn't want to do things.
Yeah, laziness. But and then gone.
Then we had who was it? Alexander Meyer? Oh fuck, what was his name? The striker won the Golden Boot for Germany in the Bundesliga.
I thought that was Müller.
No. Now, Mueller's the bloke that tore his ACL celebrating a goal for Germany.
I mean, not funny laughing at an ACL tear, but
it's funny because it's funny. who was he? Played for someone.
Didn't he play for Werder Bremen or something? Or Mönchengladbach? His name's not Miroslav Klose. I mean, he was only here for a year, right? And you guys had all the hope. He was like the, like, he was supposed to be something, some sort of big name player, like the god of football in Germany, like the Robbie Fowler of German football, was, I think, the way your brother described him to me.
No, I was absolutely correct. It's Alexander Meyer.
Yeah. One season, didn't perform.
No, but he at least came out and admitted that, like, his age just caught up with him. He couldn't compete anymore. He left on mutual terms, but admitted, like, he just could not do it. Which is, he's got my respect for it. But yeah, we bring in a German coach with these German players that don't fit our system. Now we bring in a Welsh coach who brings in the Newcastle players who don't fit our system.
Ugarkovic
has probably been one of our better players this year.
But
Rhys Williams,
Reece Williams is by miles your best.
Johnny Kitrubas. Kitrubas has been good.
Kitrubas is, yeah, defensively you've been okay. Conceding goals, but, you know, you just can't score.
The worst part is, and like, Keidra Ogawa, our new Japanese import, just makes these absolute perfect runs. But no one plays in the ball because all we do is go sideways.
I look forward to him back. Playing for Sydney FC next year.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, all we do is play sideways and then play a pass to the right. And, oh, look, we're going to go backwards now, and then we're going to go right, and then we're going to go backwards, and then we're going to go left.
Yeah.
And then we're going to lose the ball, and then they're going to score.
He's trying to play that Liverpool system along the back, but he doesn't have
what
the
he's
Robertson
doing,
and Arnold.
The one thing is, what he's doing is he's playing the same system we did last year, but last year we played with five back.
And now it's only four.
Now it's a four back. But yeah, it's the same system, and it just does not work.
And Ziggy Gordon.
Because that's what JT wants to play.
Oh, man, if you're the CEO and you're having that type of influence, you need to get the fuck out and let the coach do the job. Like, you know, just Jerry Jones style at the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL. Just shut the fuck up, pay the bills, let the coach coach. Because Robinson was a good coach at the Jets. He was turning that club around. That's why you guys hired him. But obviously there's restrictions on what he can do because, you know, you said it's supposed to be his team this year. He has the players he wants. I was actually thinking that you guys were going to – I thought you'd beat us in the derby. And, yeah, at the moment I'm looking forward to the next Sydney derby because even though you always show up, we are coming into form. Don't let us get hot.
Yeah, so –
Sydney FC.
Yeah, football sucks.
It doesn't suck, just the Wanderers do.
It sucks to suck, doesn't it?
Well, we're playing good at the moment. So
sucks to suck, Jamie.
It sucks that we wanted our coach gone a couple of weeks ago. Now we're winning again, so he's probably going to get an extension in a couple of weeks. But, you know, it is what it is. COVID's fucking us. Another topic.
Move on from my depressingness to everyone else's depressingness.
Yeah, we're all in this one together. 11,200-something cases today.
In New South Wales. What a time to be
in New South Wales.
What a time to be alive.
I think we're going to get a lot more postponements over the new year. Obviously, Sydney FC versus Perth, January 2nd. Sydney FC's next home game has been postponed. Yeah, the FA Cup came against Brisbane was postponed for Brisbane COVID problems, not with anything in the squad, just they missed their flight because of it. I am incredibly worried right now.
Yep.
We're going to see a lot of postponements, and I think it'll get to that point where they can't push the season back too far and they will just scrap the season, which is daunting. Unless they just say, Perth, Adelaide, you're living in Sydney now.
Hey, give them their hubs.
You're now the... I don't know, the Hornsby Glory or whatever the fuck you want to call them. And
now give Perth to Brisbane. Give them the Brisbane.
Yeah.
Move Brisbane back to Brisbane and...
Adelaide to Melbourne. They'd love that.
Easiest way. Well, move Adelaide to Tasmania.
That's it. Yeah, give them some games. Let's see what they can do with the Bulls next season. When the Bulls get fucking moved. But yeah, COVID's fucking us. I'm worried the season's going to get canned. Mark McGowan's a clown. But yeah, 11,000 cases. They reckon it doubles every day, so tomorrow should be 20,000 cases.
It's bad when the health minister comes out and said everyone in New South Wales at some point will have COVID.
Yeah, I've kind of planned that I want to test positive on the 8th of January because 14-day quarantine. On the 22nd of January, I am on annual leave for 2 weeks. I'd like a month off. So, you know, I'm going to lick some guys with COVID on the 6th and 7th of January to try and get it, so... I mean, if we're all going to get it, I might as well get it out of the way. I'm vaccinated. It doesn't seem to be that bad. But, yeah, it's going to fuck football. It's doing it in the UK right now. It's happening here. We see all the postponements. And, yeah, I'm going to hate my life when sport gets cancelled again.
Correct.
Thank God America just doesn't give a fuck. Although the ice hockey's been postponed until the 8th of January. So, we did Wanderers in shambles. Mustafa Amini, after 11 years abroad, is returning to Sydney
FC. I was going
to
mention that.
Yep, he will be signing with Sydney FC.
As a massive replacement for Bratton.
Luke Bratton, yep.
Yep.
Not sure how excited I am, but...
I would be excited. Look, Mustafa Amini was... I remember watching him at Central Coast.
Yep.
Then he went to the Bundesliga with Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah.
I had so much high hopes for that man. And look, it's disappointing because he had so much potential, but look, that's how football goes.
Yep.
It's going to be great to see him back in Australia and unfortunately playing for Sydney FC, but look... Bloke's got talent. It's good to see him back in Australia. And look, I wish him all the best. He just needs to play football. He's so good to watch on the ball.
I mean, he's been in Denmark for the last few seasons. Like, you don't stay in Europe playing football if you're not worth it. So lucky that it's fallen into this situation where Bratton's out for the season. We need a replacement. I mean, he comes in. Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see what he can do in a couple of weeks' time, but I think it's what we needed. We, you know, Bratton's a huge loss for us. He's a different type of midfielder. He's more of an attacking midfielder, but, you know,
it means Bratton's your six, just dominates that little section, but Mustafa's more of a box-to-box. So.
Yeah,
but
he's that
He's so good on the ball. His vision is wonderful. I'm excited to see him back in the A-League. He was great when he was here. Obviously good enough to get him a spot in Germany, which is fantastic.
Borussia Dortmund, when they were sort of at their peak, you know. That was the Reus, Lewandowski, Hummels sort of time. And
back when he was with Mitch Langerak.
Yeah, Langerak was there, yep. It's going to be exciting to see him. I think he's in quarantine at the moment, but yeah, bring it on. I can't wait to see what we're going to do.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Makes us better. And in Aussies Abroad, we touched on it at the start. Not a lot going on. Ange Postecoglou winning the Scottish Cup, but Celtic are continuing to march towards the league title. Tommy Rogic, another two assists for Celtic. He's a magician. He's the Aussie magician. He's killing it for them under Postecoglou. He must have a new lease on life. And also Martin Boyle had two assists in their win over Dundee United. So we're not getting goals, but we're assisting, and that's important. Aiden Hrustic can finish the goals for the Socceroos. They can set
them
up.
He can also assist them too. Wizard.
Not like I said, Nikita Rukovic has scored in Israel ago and his team's undefeated and top, but, you know, it's Israel.
Langerak's still doing bits in J-League. Oh, I'm pretty sure that season's over, but he was doing bits.
Of course. I mean, he's a great goalkeeper. Unfortunately, he's retired from the Socceroos, which sucks. But, yeah, nothing else going on. All the rest of Europe's on break until mid-January, I think. And the WSL is also on break, so.
The one thing I also want to talk about, we spoke about him a lot last season, but Alu Kwol. His move to Stuttgart has paid off. He is absolutely killing it in their 20s, their second team. They love him there. Absolutely love him. And when you make your debut for the squad and score after 14 seconds, they kind of love you. And the bloke keeps scoring. I think he's 7 goals in about 10 games. So
he's
keep doing bits
king.
And he will be playing in the Bundesliga soon.
And his brother actually scored for the Mariners in their win over Apia in the FFA Cup. Did something that the Wanderers couldn't do, and that was beat Apia.
That's disgusting, eh? That's absolutely disgusting. When we lose 2-1 to them and Central Coast beat them 6-0.
6-0, that's right. They scored right at the death, yeah.
That's disgusting.
Well, like we said, but Monty's a hell of a good manager tactically. He's got a good squad, good young players around him. And yeah, Apia didn't even look at the races that day. So credit to the Mariners. Unlucky Apia. Would have been nice to see you in the next round for Sydney FC once we beat Brisbane on the 30th now. But yeah, that is hot topics, I think. Anything
else
to discuss?
That's it. I'm done. I'm sad now. Now that you've done this, I'm fucking very sad. I'm gonna.
We had to talk about it.
We had to. I know we had to. If I'm gonna badmouth MacArthur Bulls for being bad, yeah. I'm absolutely gonna cop it when the Wanderers are being bad.
And I was badmouthing Sydney when we were terrible and didn't look like a chance of winning. So hopefully it'll come around for you. Hopefully not. But
yeah, probably not. Please, next season.
When Sydney FC is bad, I'm going to tear them a new one too. And we're going to laugh at Melbourne Victory when they're bad, when Popovic leaves them. So,
can we get Popper back, please?
If he leaves, do you reckon if the coaching spot at the Wanderers was open, he would leave the Victory to go to the Wanderers?
Not a chance.
Not even with the CEO, who seems to love him? Probably has a lock of his hair in his wardrobe and he sniffs it every night?
I mean, probably. But
if I'm at Melbourne Victory, I'm not leaving.
No.
I got resources. I have everything I need to succeed. If I'm a good coach like he is, you could be there like Ernie Merrick was for a long time. Kevin Muscat, long time. So, yeah, I think that's it.
That is it.
Not really much to preview because we don't know what games are going to be going ahead by the time they go. We are supposed to have a Mariners game on the 31st of January. But who knows at this point? It's still 2 days away and a lot of games are already getting postponed. So, you know, if it happens, it happens.
2 days
we'll
away?
Review it.
Jesus Christ. Wow. Yeah.
Get to make a joke at the end of this one. So excited.
Oh, you're a clown. Look, that's it for the Circling Rectangle Show. What a season, or what a year 2021 was. Yeah. It was exciting. We got a hot. We started this journey in 2021. So I'll tell you what, it's going to be great to see where the venture goes in 2022. But look, it's been a great season for the A-League so far. Hopefully these postponements don't carry on too long. But and hopefully the Wanderers don't suck forever. But it is what it is. Jamie Brown, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hopefully you had a great time with the fam. Enjoy yourself in the off season. But we'll be back after New Year's. In the new year, we'll be back to review what has happened or what has not happened, but we'll be back.
We'll see you guys next year.
Yes, we will.
Bye.
You keep that in 2021, you clown. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Circle and Rectangle Show, and thank you all so much for joining us this year. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Hit us up on all of our socials linked in the description, and also don't forget to check out fanbabblesports.com for the latest blogs and podcasts. And one last thing, guys, have yourselves a very happy new year, and we look forward to bringing you the show in 2022.